So I'm live here at Warner Music in Stockholm, and I have Eka Toppinen. Is that correctly pronounced?
Yeah.
One of the founders of Apocalyptica, right? Yeah. Great. It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
I have to start with this question. Four guys playing the cello, touring worldwide, playing heavy metal. How did this start?
It started, we all cello players, we are classically trained.
Yeah.
We studied at Sibelius Academy in Helsinki. And besides playing classical with cello, we were big fans of heavy metal as well. And we started to think, you know, why not to try. We had a six cello group called Total Cello Ensemble. I was a founding member of that as well.
Okay.
It was very, very early 90s. And we played all kind of music up to Jimi Hendrix, Purple Haze with that group. And I started thinking, you know, if we can play Jimi Hendrix with cellos, why can't we play For Whom the Bell Tolls? And,
and so
we started to play for our own fun, and we played in student parties and stuff like that. Just acoustic performances or half acoustic performances. And then the rumor went on, and we were invited to play in the metal evening in Helsinki, end of 95. And based on that show, we were offered to make the chance to make an album. We never thought about making an album by ourselves. And we thought, okay, let's do it for experience. And when we released the first album, we thought if we sell 1,000 copies, that's cool. Get a few gigs. And then it started to just, you know, explode. And the album came out 96 May. And now we've been going on for 23 years.
Yeah.
After I kind of count even we started a few years before the album.
Yeah.
I kind of count that as a starting point. Because,
yeah, of course.
Yeah. Making the album.
Yeah.
So.
But I mean, you're all as you said, you're classical. You play the cello and everything. But do you play other instruments as well? I mean, are you like this kind of instrument nerds that can play any instrument at all, like?
Unfortunately not.
Okay.
I play drums, and you know, we can play a little bit of piano, but you know, nothing for real, you know.
Okay, so
cello is the real thing.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, a lot has happened since you released your first album, the Metallica album, and now you're about to release your, I think it's the ninth studio album. Yeah, ninth studio album, Cello.
Cell Zero.
Because what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Is it a zero? Okay.
Yeah.
And it released in January?
Yeah, January 10th.
I heard the first single, Rise. It's a really good one. Is this a pure instrumental album, or is it any vocals?
It's actually, the Rise is the second single. First one is called Ashes of the Modern World.
Ah, sorry.
But the album is this time, it's fully instrumental, and it's fully instrumental album from us since 17 years.
Yeah.
And the reason for that was kind of, you know, when it became 20 years from this first release, this place, Metallica by Four Cellos, we made a little anniversary tour, or the plan was to make a little anniversary tour. I thought, let's play 20 to 30 shows with this only Metallica concept. But suddenly it turned out to be 32 months long show, tour with 230 shows. But that was, you know, Shadowmaker was the previous studio album, and we had Frankie Perez on vocals on that, and it was very vocal driven album, and we kind of maybe went with that album to the far end, far away from the very original Apocalyptica. And then doing this place Metallica tour, it was fully instrumental, and we brought it into the more classical venues, seated venues, and actually we went really back to our origins and back to the main core of Apocalyptica, and that actually gave us the feeling that, okay, now it would be actually exciting, most exciting for us to go back into our own roots when we started to make own music and kind of find our Zell Zero. You know, and build everything.
That's the reason for the name.
Yeah,
okay.
That's not only the reason for the name. You know, the whole thematics of the album are pretty universal, and Cell Zero is something we created, which is kind of the origin of everything in the universe, and where everything comes from. And it's actually got an environmental album as well, and.
Feels like very artistic in a way as well. I watched the video of Rise, and it looks like you put a lot of effort also into finding the artistic thing of this music.
With instrumental music, we think that we can give people, a listener, a great platform to experience and think by themselves. And that's why we don't want to point out too detailed, you know, what's the music is all about. So that's why song titles, they are a little guidance, you know, to what kind of world they're telling. And in the album artwork, we have two pages of a painting for every song, which is also a little bit opening the world. But instead of telling people what to think, we rather give a platform where people can think by themselves. And it's very much related to the topics, what's going on with the human race at the moment, and about that, that actually we have kind of lost our understanding of the cell zero, that, you know, that we actually come from the same source than everything else around us. Yeah. And we are part of it, but we have just became like to behave like a cancer cells, that we just, you know, kill living other cells and other forms of life, and we think that we are some kind of kings or gods of this system, but actual fact is that we are just piece of shit in the bigger picture.
that's true
and in the longer period of time, we are just actually causing harm to ourselves, and that's something that we should wake up for. And so that's pretty much the thematics of the album. We are going to microscopic, micro level, from there to the very universal level of thinking and of perspective. And so it's like,
cool. Sounds
it's,
like
it's, yeah, ki- it's kind of mani- the album is kind of a manifest. It was not meant to be like that, but while doing it, we were discussing a lot, you know, what kind of thoughts we have in the band, and, you know, what kind of feelings and impressions the music gives us when we heard, you know, the finalized songs. And that's how we found that all the song titles. We usually get the song titles after the song is ready.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not so much about, okay, now I write a song out of this and this topic. It's more like writing, I think creating in general, it's pretty much that you filter your own experiences through your own personality.
Yeah.
So the influence comes from so many things, or all kind of things that kind of touch you or gets you excited or inspires you. And therefore, it's many times it's like when you hear the final song, and you listen to it, and then you kind of get that, okay, what kind of, where it touches you, you know, and what kind of thoughts and what kind of images you start to see and feel.
Cool. Sounds like you have a great idea there. Good thing going on with the new record. Really looking forward to hear the whole of it. But you had a lot of guest artists for the past years. I mean, everything from Adam from Three Days Grace, Corey Taylor, Brent Smith, some really big rock stars. Do you have any collaborations on this album, or are you planning a new collaboration for later on, or are you finished with that one?
No, this album has absolutely no guests.
Yeah.
And we actually self-produced the album because we really felt that to be able to go to the very core of Apocalyptica and to build music out of that, we want to be free of influences from outside, and we don't want to explain it to anybody, and that's why we kind of locked ourselves in the studio.
Yeah,
and just four of us plus one recording.
Threw away the key.
Yeah, just the one recording engineer there, and that's how we created the whole shit. And because a few years ago I realized that okay, the world is changing, and instead of being in the troops of complainers. Complaining, you know, how the album sales are going down and blah blah blah, how terrible it is that we are not making any money anymore and so on. I was like, okay, let's rather see what kind of cool things actually modern technology offers us. And I realized, okay, in these modern platforms like streaming and stuff, we actually can ride two separate roads at the same time.
Yeah.
Because the instrumental Apocalyptica is one kind of world, and then the collaboration world is another one. And I was like, okay, why don't we just do, you know, fully instrumental album, make it as a full, very solid piece of art.
Yeah.
Because we can do collaborations whenever we like. And we can put those songs out whenever we like, when it's the right moment and right timing for the guest and for us, and nothing doesn't have to be anymore depending on the album cycle or, you know, album timing, because that always was really complicated in the past as well. You know, you make a song and then it takes 1 year or 1.5 years when the single is going out, and suddenly it's not coming out because something happens, you know, the schedule of the guest singer, they really schedule changes and clashes and, you know, all that kind of bullshit. And I wanted to get rid of that kind of business bullshit. And actually we already, I think yesterday I got the mastered version of the first vocal single we are going to release next year. Okay. But it's not going to be on the album. So they are we are going to release actually quite a few singles next year.
Oh yeah.
And they are just all individual independent releases.
Because that has been in history as well. You released most of the material with guest artists as singles, right?
Yeah. They've been singles, but they've been part of the album, because in the old times still it mattered for record companies to, you know, that the single was the tool to sell the album. But nobody's buying the album anyway, so fuck that.
Just singles.
Yeah, just, you know, make good music and let people listen to it.
Yeah,
but of course it's great if people buy the album, because we actually put a lot of effort to create the artwork and everything, because we appreciate those kind of loyal fans. And I think in the metal world especially, people still want to feel very connected to the artist.
Yeah,
and that's
definitely
why people like to have the physical copy. And I really get that. I like to do it too. I still buy CDs, which is kind of stupid, but I still like to do that.
You don't buy vinyls?
Yeah, I buy vinyls as well. But even CDs, that's even more stupid. Vinyls, that makes some sense, but buying CDs doesn't make any fucking sense. So I still do that because I'm old school. I'm old.
Yeah. Well, same for me. I recently got back to vinyls again. I love it.
Yeah.
So the new album will probably be released on vinyl as well, right?
Yeah, this is a double vinyl and all kind of different packaging, you know, that everybody can find their own version they wish.
Wonderful. When it goes to touring, I just read that a big tour is coming up 2020 together with Sabaton.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that started that Per Sundström, who is the bass player and manager of Sabaton. He came to see our show somewhere in Spain, I think, maybe 2 years ago, and presented the idea that he wanted us to be opening band for actually Amaranthe is the opening band. We are other support there, but we liked his approach to that. That what they wanted to create was like the best possible evening for their fans.
Yep.
And for that, he wanted to make more collaboration, that it wouldn't be just, you know, bands playing their sets, but, you know, showing the fans that the bands, they like each other and, you know, they collaborate and kind of finding a way to make it that way, that the whole arena of people feels that, we are all doing this together.
Yeah.
You know, everybody who comes in the hall is part of the event.
Yeah.
And that's why we made this version of their first single, this Fields of Verdun.
Yeah.
And then we just released last week, we released Angels Calling.
Ah.
Their old song, we made a new version together out of that. And actually we played the first show of this tour last Saturday in Helsinki.
Oh, yeah.
Hartwall Arena. And that was really great.
Yeah.
We were featuring on their set. We played, joined them on 5 songs. And actually, we took Elise from Amaranthe to sing with us.
Ah, okay.
So we were not bringing...
So is that what you can expect when you go and see this kind of
tour? So it's really collaboration. And Perttu, one cello player of us, he's going to join Amaranthe for one song. So we are kind of, you know, making it like a big family happening.
That's how it should
be. So it's going to be an amazing tour.
Yeah,
it's
you're coming to Stockholm in February, right?
Yeah, February is in Stockholm.
It's going to be great. I have to ask this question. You know, as our listeners know, all the bands have some kind of rider when they're backstage.
Yeah.
What does your ride look like? Is it like 100 beers and a sauna? Or?
It has changed. Now, actually, we should change it because of our old tour manager, production manager, is full of soya products, and we don't like that too much. So we want to get rid of those fucking fake cheese and fake sausage. You know, if you want to be vegetarian.
Yeah, don't exactly.
You know, make you know, animal products to be vegetarian products. But our rider is very easy, and now we are changing even all the beer into non-alcoholic beer because no one in the band is drinking anymore.
Okay.
And so
that's it's so rock star-ish.
No, it's very it's basic and simple. It's been rock star-ish enough, you know. And you know, sometimes things has to change. And,
yeah, definitely.
And sometimes for very good reasons, but it's our rider is the most simple. I think that's enough if there is something to drink and something to eat,
yeah.
Something that makes sense and is a little bit healthy and not yeah. always only chips. And
but not some soya crap.
No, no, not some soya. I have nothing against soya. I like some soya, yeah. soya stuff. But you know, it's like it's been so much. There's been one vegan on tour, and then everything is like you know half of. The stuff on backstage is somehow vegan, specialized vegan.
Oh. do you still live in Finland or?
Yeah, we all live in Finland.
Okay,
yeah.
You're touring so much, you're probably everywhere anyway.
Yeah, you need pretty much everywhere, but you need to have some safe, quiet place, you know, to recover from all the social mayhem on tour.
Yeah. Since you've been in touring so much and yeah, probably met all kind of rock stars and everything, have you ever been starstruck?
No, I haven't. I haven't been.
Yeah. Probably the others have met you.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, there's been moments, you know, when I first time met Metallica, like it was 96. It was very beginning of our career.
Yeah.
Of course, those kind of moments were like really like, wow. And there's been, of course, I don't know, for me, I've never been like a super fan girl yeah. of anything.
Groovy.
Yeah, but because then when you work with people and you work on same things, it yeah. becomes collegial
yeah,
somehow,
exactly.
You know. It doesn't matter how cool they are. Like the crazy experience, we made a song over 10 years ago with two singers, Matt Took from Bullet From My Valentine
yeah.
and then Max Cavalera. And I flew somewhere to Germany to record Max Cavalera's vocals, and I was a huge fan of Sepultura always,
yeah.
since I was a teenager. And then I'm in the studio, and he's in the singing booth, and asking me what to do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm producing Max Cavalera here, like, you know? So, but then it's like, okay, but it's work, we have to do it.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
And that's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
So, not big deal afterwards.
Yeah.
But of course,
he was probably very happy with being there as well. So.
Yeah, yeah, he was super happy.
Yeah.
But of course, a lot of that kind of situation that suddenly you're working with your idols. And
yeah.
when you're working with your idols, you just can't, you know, treat them like idols.
No,
it's
of course.
You treat them with respect,
yeah.
but you need to respect yourself as well. Otherwise, it doesn't work. So.
Yeah. We talk about inspirations a little bit before. What are your inspirations when you write the songs? Is it both classical and rock music, or is it more like in the roots of the classical music? Or
I really can't. I think that it's very much more metal driven.
Yeah.
Of course, there are always the classical flavors. It's like the music what I like that influences me. Sometimes it might be Massive Attack or, you know,
yeah.
some even more modern electro. System of a Down is a big inspiration for me. But I'm never trying to make, okay, I try to make this kind of song or this kind of music that what I like. For me, it's more like I just start to fool around with some instruments, guitar or piano or cello
yeah.
or whatsoever and you know, just fool around, and then there comes something that, oh, this is actually cool,
yeah.
and then I start to work on it. So I'm not planning much. It's a different thing, of course, than when I'm writing a score for a movie or, you know,
yeah.
I'm making music for some other context.
Yeah.
Then it's, of course, a different thing.
Yeah. But I read somewhere, I tried to Google and find which is the most epic or classic cello piece, and Bach always you know comes up everywhere.
Yeah.
Is Bach the most, you know, has he written the best classical piece for cello, you think?
Probably yes.
Yeah.
But it's like
But you must have played some classical pieces as well.
Before. I played all. Yeah. So everything.
Yeah.
And Bach comes up maybe because he wrote 6 solo suites for cello, which are all really amazing music.
Yeah.
And that's something that you can play alone. And where this cello comes, stands out the best.
Yeah.
Of course, there are loads of epic concertos and sonatas and all the other stuff. Zoltán, for metal people, actually, pretty cool is Zoltán Kodály, Hungarian composer. He also made this kind of solo sonata for cello, and that's pretty metal. Cool. It's really good music.
Well,
I can recommend that for metal people, for solo cello music.
Yeah.
But it was also funny that, you know, Bach, when I met first time Kirk Hammett in 96, he was like, oh, can you play a little bit of this Bach thing? And I was like, okay, is this, I kind of guessed that he means the first prelude from the first suite.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, this is so great. I love this music.
But have you ever played like in a symphonic orchestra, you know, the big thing where with hundreds of musicians or?
I played a lot in orchestra when I was young.
Yeah.
Yeah. I played in Radio Philharmonic Orchestra and another orchestra called Avanti, which is more contemporary music.
Ah, okay.
And Perttu, one cello player of us, he had a vacancy in Helsinki Philharmonic Orchestra and Pau was playing at opera. And so we've done that in the past.
Yeah.
And then, of course, with Apocalyptica, we've done got a few times with stuff with orchestras.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, you played at Sweden Rock. I think last time was 2017.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, any plans of going back to Sweden Rock? Next year, maybe?
We have not so many festivals booked for next year.
Okay.
So I don't know about the next summer. I think our main European festival summer is going to be 2021.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it very often goes that you first have to do your own tour.
Yep.
Kind of evaluate the band. You know, but we have some festivals and we are still open for all offers because the summer is quite empty. I don't mind summer being empty because it's the best time of the year in North, as you Swedes, you should know that.
Yeah, definitely, it's the only time of year when you can actually have some fun in Sweden.
Yeah, winter is also great, but you need to go north.
Yeah, definitely not here in Stockholm.
Yeah, not in Helsinki. It's miserable. But you know, just get a few hundred kilometers up north from Helsinki, then it's gonna be winter is great then.
Yeah. Yeah, we're really looking forward to the tour and the new album and everything. But we're going to end with some quick questions. 10 quick questions,
okay.
Is that okay? So you're just going to answer as fast as possible.
Yes or no, or maybe.
Yeah. Bach or Metallica?
Bach or Metallica.
Yeah.
Bach.
Beer or vodka?
Beer.
Sweden Rock or Wacken Open Air?
Wacken.
Radio or TV? Think carefully now before you answer.
Radio.
That's a good answer. Oysters or pirog?
What is the oysters?
Oysters or pirogs? You know, like, isn't that the Finnish, you know, the small...
Ah, yeah, yeah. Pirog. Pirog.
Pirog.
Definitely.
Definitely,
yeah.
Okay.
Karelian pirog.
Sauna and ice bathing or sun and beaches?
Sauna, nice bath.
Ah, that's the correct answer. Tommy Kallio or Jari Litmanen?
Jari Litmanen.
Reading books or playing PlayStation?
Reading books.
Vinyl or Spotify?
Vinyl.
And the last one, winter or summer? You probably already answered that.
Yeah, summer. I love winter though, but you know, as the winters have started to be so... grumpy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lately, I prefer summer.
If it's winter, you should be very far up north.
Yeah.
See some snow.
Exactly.
Otherwise, it's just raining and gray.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. It's been really great to meet you, and best of luck for the tour and the new
Thank
album.
Thank you very much. Come to see the show, you know, when we
yeah,
are around.
Definitely. Definitely
yeah.
Do that.
Yeah.
Great. So, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.